Decided that a visual demonstration would add emphasis to a Sunday sermon. Four worms were placed into four separate jars. The first worm was put into a jar of alcohol. The second worm was put into a jar of cigarette smoke. The third worm was put into a jar of chocolate syrup. And the fourth jar was put into a jar of good, clean soil. The fourth worm. At the conclusion of the sermon, the minister shared the following results. The first woman, alcohol, dead. The woman, cigarette smoke, dead. The woman, chocolate syrup, dead. The woman, clean soil, alive and kicking. So the minister asked the congregation, what can you learn from this demonstration? A little lady in the back quickly raised her hand and said, as long as you drink, smoke, and eat chocolate, you won't have worms. Yeah, I got you.
Now that one was funny.
That one's funny? Like that? All right. We started last week on our series through the book of Chronicles. And Ezra, who wrote that book, described himself as a scribe skilled in the law of Moses. That's how he wrote himself about it. After 7 years of exile in Babylon and being set free to go back and rebuild their nation, Ezra compiled a list of some of the kings and their accomplishments that they had, the kind of the history of his people. So it just teaches lessons throughout these kings and on what to do and what not to do when you when you get a chance to do a do-over, when you get a chance to do a second time. And last week we learned a lesson from David. We learned that God relents when we repent. And in case you're wondering, repentance is more than just saying I'm sorry. It's actually remorse for our wrongs and then turning towards what is right, turning away from what we did and deciding to do what's right in the sight of God. The Hebrew word is teshuva. It is more than a feeling of regret or guilt. It actually derives from the verb, means to return. Simply put, to return back to what God told us to do. And so David set up to make things right with his mistakes, and he built an altar, but not just built an altar, he also got the animals he needed to sacrifice on that altar. He bought everything he needed, although it was offered to him at no cost at all. David said, I will not sacrifice what costs me nothing. And our difficult seasons, and we know we have difficult seasons, amen? In those 3 Monday work weeks, we have to remember to just offer the sacrifice of praise as well. Is that always easy? No. But we need to understand the importance of gathering together, not forsaking ourselves together, and being in a place like this, a community worshiping God, not just when we feel like it, but even when it seems like all hell is breaking loose around us. That's why sometimes it's called the sacrifice of praise. And today we're going to learn a lesson from Solomon about, what do you think? Wisdom. The Bible says that next to Jesus, apart from Jesus, Solomon was the wisest man to ever live in history. And we'll be looking at 2 Chronicles chapter 1. Before we do that, let me just let's go to 1 Kings chapter 4, and I want you to see what the Bible says about Solomon, what about his wisdom. Look at what it says. God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight, and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. That's a lot of wisdom. I mean, think about that. That is a lot of wisdom. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the people of the east, and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than anyone else, including Ethan, the Israelite, wiser than Haman, Calcul of Darda, the sons of Mahal, and his fame spread to all the surrounding nations. Next one. He spoke 3,000 proverbs. Now, we only have a book of 31 that he wrote, a book of proverbs. But he spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs numbered 1,005. He was quite the author. He spoke about plant life, from the seed of Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of walls. He also spoke about animals and birds, reptiles and fish. From all nations, people came to listen to Solomon's wisdom, sent by all the kings of the world who had heard of his wisdom. That's what Scripture says about the wisdom of Solomon. And when you study the life of Solomon, however, you'll notice that it doesn't take too long to find out that Solomon also, like David, like us, had some flaws. He wasn't perfect. In spite of even with the wisdom that God gave him, he was not, by any means, perfect. He still had some flaws. Solomon did some things wrong. I know. Maybe not the same things we do, but wrong nonetheless. But Ezra, because he's trying to encourage the people and us, he doesn't deal with the weaknesses, the difficulties, the flaws of Solomon. He deals with the wisdom of Solomon, what he did right. And what he did right benefited the whole nation. And what he started to, what he did right started in the very first year of his reign. Solomon was replacing his hero, David. Now, David is probably the best king Israel ever had. And Solomon wanted to make sure he set out to be a good king as well. And so Solomon just did that. And so he thought how to begin his kingship, how to start it. He just thought about, what can I do? So Solomon did something that we probably never even would have thought about doing, ever. Solomon wanted to start well. And so he went to Israel's holiest place, a mountain not too far from his home. He took with him 1,000 sheep, goats, and cattle. And he built a fire on an altar, and he made 1,000 sacrifices to the Lord. Wow. Now maybe you're thinking, why would you do that? Look, let me back up in one chapter in 1 Kings 3, 4. Look at this. Just so you see the story. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place, and Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. 1,000. And why would anyone think of offering 1,000 sacrifices on an altar? And let me just read you what happened as a result of that. It's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, or chapter 2, chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. It's actually 7 through 12, so let me just read the whole thing. That night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered God, "You have shown great kindness to David, my father, and have made me king in his place. Now, Lord God, let your promise to my father be confirmed, for you have made me king over people who are as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people, for who is able to govern this great people of yours?" God said to Solomon, "Since this is your heart's desire, and you have not asked for wealth, possessions or honor, nor for the death of your enemies," which, by the way, could have been done in the king, in that kingdom, anybody that was, you know, "and since you have not asked for long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I have made you king, therefore wisdom and knowledge will be given you." We read about it, how you made the Proverbs, and we read about that wisdom. "And I also will give you wealth, possessions, and honor, such as no king who was before you had ever had, and none will have after you." Think about that. None after you will have either. How old do you think Solomon was when that happened? When he became king? 14, y'all. 14. Now hear this. If you've ever felt small and insignificant or helpless, if you've ever wondered if you could do the thing that God called you to do, I want you to know that God is able to help you with everything He's called you. He will equip you for what He's called you to. He'll do that. You just need to be willing to give Him what you have. Remember the young boy in the Bible that all he had was a lunch? I mean, all he had was a lunch. And they're saying, "Feed this group." And I mean, there's thousands there. And he's like, all he had to offer is a lunch. But at that one lunch, offering that one lunch to Jesus multiplied it to feed thousands. Willing to give up all that you have, God can use you beyond your wildest dreams. You just give God whatever you have and watch how He uses it for His glory. And Solomon, at about 14, found himself responsible for about 2 million people that needed to be led, cared for, protected, helped. And Solomon is probably now at his biggest assignment ever to do that. So he makes the biggest sacrifice he could think of. And he offers 1,000 sacrifices on the mountain. 1,000 animals are slaughtered and placed onto the altar, one after another, as a sacrifice to God. And what I think is important to understand and point out, in the Old Testament there were several types of offerings. And I'm just going to share two of them. There's the fellowship offering. That was an offering that that when you sacrifice, you kept some back for yourself. If you got, you gave some to God, then you kept it cooked the way you wanted, and then, you know, ate that yourself, and you had sort of fellowship with your friend. And how many know we have Jesus who's a friend that sits closer than a brother? And so we're going to have a fellowship offer in a little bit after service, but, you know, we're going to share some food and do things, but that's a fellowship offering. There was the burnt offering. And with the burnt offering, you kept nothing. Everything that you burnt went to God. Everything you burnt went to Him. It all, God received everything that you did. And that offering symbolized that you were giving everything to God. Solomon's offering was a burnt offering. He kept nothing back for himself. He kept no portion. Everything that he had, he says, God, I give to you. Solomon's simply saying, God, all I have is yours, and all I am is yours. 1,000 times he said that. All I am is yours. All I have is yours. That evening, God came to him and said, Solomon, what shall I give you? Now, it's not that Solomon earned it. None of us earned his grace. None of us earned his gifts. He just gives his gifts out freely to whomever he wants, and we understand that. And so in all humility, Solomon answers, I only want one thing. I want wisdom to be able to lead your people to fulfill the calling that you've given me. That's my desire. The perfect request. I mean, and grant me wisdom and knowledge so I can lead your people that you've called me to lead. These, as Scripture said, these people of yours. And all of heaven, I think, anticipated God's answer. What is God going to say to that? How would he respond to a request such as that? And so God just sat back, surprised at what Solomon had asked for. No, not at all. He wasn't surprised. Without hesitation, God responded, Solomon, since you've asked me for something that will benefit others and not just you, I'm going to give you what you asked for, and I'm going to give you what you didn't ask for as well. I'm going to shower you with the riches and the wealth and glory unlike any other king before you. Wow. Listen, sometimes our prayers aren't answered, not because God doesn't care, not because God doesn't want to, but because our motives are not right. Solomon's motives were pure. He simply wanted wisdom to lead the people well. Look at James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. It says this. What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. Solomon saying, I don't need wealth. I don't need possessions. I don't need any of that. I just want wisdom. And so God gives him wisdom. And not just wisdom, but gives him the wealth, the possessions, and everything. That is what he did. And I love this. Listen to this. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. When you pray according to his will is not for a better car. Not always. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's for a car. Amen? Amen. So he's not asking for a $20,000, you know, $100,000 car. He's asking for something to transport him around. That's the difference, folks. It's the motive. It's what you want. And listen, it's not that God doesn't want to bless his people. I believe God wants to bless his people so we can be a blessing to people.
Amen.
But we've got to understand that sometimes our motives are just way off. God, I just want. And it's to benefit us and not those around us. And when that is the case, sometimes our prayers are not answered because God says your motives are not as pure as they should be. And Asa, who's telling the story, is teaching us a lesson about rebooting, restarting our lives after something happened, after some thing. He's saying the best way to have a fulfilled life, the abundant life that Jesus promised us, is to follow God's purpose for your life. And God has a purpose for your life. To seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all the other things will be added on to us. First, seek his kingdom. Not popularity. Not, you know, applause. Seek him. And then everything else will come about. And on that day that Solomon sacrificed, he was starting his life over. He was a prince. Now he's the king. Princes can play. Kings need to lead. And so he understood that. And so Solomon asked for riches or favor, but for wisdom. Knowledge is knowing things. Wisdom is knowing what to do with those things. Knowledge is about information. Wisdom about applications. About knowing what to do in every situation. Knowledge is knowing that tomatoes are fruit. Wisdom's knowing not to put tomatoes in a fruit salad. Okay? It's just, that's the way it works. That's knowledge and wisdom. Wisdom's knowing how to apply the knowledge you have. And I want to encourage you to take some time and read through the next 8 chapters of 2 Chronicles. It's at least, I mean, it's and in them you'll have the opportunity to discover what happened, because Solomon asked for wisdom to lead his people and not riches or popularity for himself, for wisdom. But God, because of his motives, because of his humility, because of all he did, God gave him both. The motive behind Solomon's request was just to simply to please Papa. That's it. You want to please God. So Ezra shares a few things with us. I'll just cover a few things out of those chapters. But look at 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 14. Solomon accumulated chariots and horses. He had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horses, which he kept in the chariot cities and also with him in Jerusalem. Now that may not be, you're thinking, wow, that's a lot of numbers. And that's, let me just put this in context for you. Remember when Pharaoh was chased after the people of Israel? When they were let go of Egypt and Pharaoh decided to join, he only had 600 chariots. Solomon knew that if God was going to bless him in such a way, he had to have a vast army to protect what he had. And so he had what he had. And then he goes on to say, verse 15, the king made silver and gold as common in Jerusalem as stones, and cedar as plentiful as sycamore fig trees in the foothills. Think about that. He made silver and gold as common as stones. Solomon knew how to generate wealth. He knew how to make money. He knew what to do. And Solomon just knew. And I love this. Solomon understood the importance of not just generating wealth, but having a place for God's people to worship God. And so he writes this. Chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Solomon gave orders to build a temple for the name of the Lord and a royal palace for himself. He conscripted 70,000 men as carriers and 80,000 as stonecutters in the hills and 3,600 as foremen over them. What an army to build the temple! Solomon's wisdom provided Israel with the most incredible place of worship in the world. chapters 3 through 8 teach and they describe how Solomon instructed that temple to be built, how they, you know, did everything, how they did everything, how he fortified the cities of Israel, and how he settled all the people there in those cities, and how Israel prospered in the midst of it all. And I don't have time today to go through it all, so read those chapters if you will. But everyone benefited from Solomon's wisdom. Let me jump all the way to chapter 9, verses 13 and 14. Each year, Solomon received about 25 tons of gold. Each year. This did not include the additional revenue he received from merchants and traders. So he had more than 25,000, or 25 tons. All of the kings of Arabia and the governors of the province also brought silver and gold and silver to Solomon. So that's what he received every year. That's generating a lot of wealth. Now, I think the point Ezra's trying to make here is that wisdom is a gift. And if you use that gift wisely, God can bless it. And so he does. And so because of that gift, Israel experienced blessings. Others came to hear and see his wisdom in action. Israel became the wealthiest nation in the world, and the people enjoyed safety on all their borders. And the whole world experienced blessing as a result of Solomon's prayers. Now, Solomon is wise, and he's wise enough to know that his wisdom alone is not going to carry him on. He still needed God. And so Solomon took prayer serious. God needed to intervene in Solomon's life like he does in ours. And if Solomon needed God, don't you think we do too? I mean, this was a man that knew how to generate. He knew all that. And so if Solomon needed God, I think it'd be who of us to say we need him too. So chapter 6 contains one of the prayers of Solomon. Then chapter 7, it contains God's response to one of Solomon's prayers. The response is probably one of the most well-known. One we probably have heard before is probably one of the best-known in responses and prayer in Scripture. Let me read it to you. You probably recognize that way. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. This is God's response to Solomon's prayers. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Four things drawn out there. Humble ourselves. Realize you're not as big as you think and you're not God. Humble ourselves. Pray. Ask God about your hopes, your dreams, your concerns, your struggles. God cares. Seek his face. Think about him. Try to do your day with him. So that his face and his thoughts are your thoughts. It's what you see, it's what you hope for, it's what you go there. We need to stand for truth. Amen. Turn from wicked ways. Stop offering excuses. Everybody's not doing it. Stop caving to the culture to be popular. Stand up for what's right. And you know who needs to do that in order for God to heal our land? We do. It starts with us. That's why we're here on Wednesdays to pray. And that's why, you know, I'm thinking about on Sundays, just come, you know, 15 minutes early, let's go in the office for like 5 minutes and pray together. If you can't make it with Wednesday, let's just join together on Sundays as well. It's a community of prayer. Because prayer changes things. And a unified prayer shifts nations. Ezra is teaching us a lesson about wisdom. If you want to start your life over and live to a higher level, you need wisdom. Wisdom is one of God's greatest gifts. Look at Proverbs chapter 8, verse 11. For wisdom is more precious than riches, and nothing Nothing you desire can compare with her. Money, sex, power, thrills, achievements, recognition. Wisdom is better than all of them combined. So as I close this message out, joy to come. Let me give you four things to help you live better. We've dealt with them already, but I just wanted to just reiterate and let you know. Number one, make a burnt offering. Look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Declare a do-over. Build an altar in your heart. Offer yourself 1,000 times over to God. Give your possessions and your position, your rights and your hopes, your goals and your dreams. I promise you, his plans for you are better than you can even imagine. Say, Lord, here I am. All I have is yours, and all I am is yours. After all, it is in him we live and move and have our being. Amen? Number two, ask God for wisdom. James 1:5 says this. If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. I'm not saying you can't talk to anybody else about their thoughts. I'm not saying you can't, go to them and get their advice. But if you only rely or depend on others and never go to God for what he thinks, you are not going to be the best you can be. God knows the number of hairs on your head. I think he knows us a little better than everybody else. Amen?
Amen.
Number three, pursue wisdom. Reading Proverbs is a great starting point. There's only 31 Proverbs. You could actually read one chapter of Proverbs every day of the month, get through it all in 1 month, and then start over again. You could do that. And you'd start to get that. I mean, let me just give you the introduction of the book. The way that the book of Proverbs describes itself, look what it says in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. So this is what he says. This is what the book's for. For gaining wisdom and instruction. For understanding words of insight. For receiving instruction of prudent behavior. Doing what is right and just and fair. Now how many of you think that's a good idea to do? Proverbs is where he's saying to start. For giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. So in other words, if you're already wise, just you can add to your learning. You can still get wiser. Not more of a wiser guy, but wiser in what you do. And add to your learning and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's how Proverbs describes itself. If you want to gain wisdom, read me. So pursue wisdom. And then lastly, walk in wisdom. Now, how do you do that? And really, that's not an easy answer. Here's a couple ways. Proverbs 13:20 says this. Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. Whoa. Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. That's Proverbs, by the way. That's wisdom. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:33. It says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. I heard T.D. Jakes once say this: you can't be a married woman with a single woman's mindset, because all of your single friends, girlfriends, will mess up your marriage with the advice of what they do if they were you. And you're listening to them and taking that spirit home, and it's tearing up your house. He goes on to talk about the men. He says, brother, you can't be a husband with a single man's mindset, because you will be physically present but emotionally unavailable. Because you are physically and legally married but not emotionally present or connected, and because you have not developed language for anything beyond anger, your wife becomes a sparring partner because you are better at expressing anger than you are anything else. Now, how is that relevant to what I'm talking about? Some of you are getting advice from folks that are bitter at God, and they're making you bitter at God. And advice from folks that think the woke culture is the right culture. God says otherwise. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. One more scripture and I'll close. Proverbs 19, 20 and 21. Listen to advice, accept discipline, and at the end, you'll be counted among the wise. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Listen, we all have plans. Some are good, some not so good. We all have plans. But it's the Lord's purpose that must prevail if we're actually going to be to the full destiny God calls us to be. So pursue wisdom. It's more precious than all the jewels. Solomon understood that. He understood that even though God gave him wisdom, he had great riches and wealth. People came from all over to hear him talk about the woman with the baby. Know the story. They go before the judge, and the judge says, you know, the baby, when he died, one mom says mine, this is those mine. So Solomon says, all right, cut it in half, and you take one half. And the real mother says, no. Solomon understood that's the real mother. The other mother didn't care. The mother cared. That's wisdom. And in spite of all that wisdom, in spite of the flaws that Solomon had, God still gave him everything he asked for plus more. Listen, God has plans for this church. He has plans for your life. He has plans for each one of us. And I want you to know that if we just pursue wisdom, we'll know how to handle every situation that comes our way. There'll be somebody that can guide us, because God will instill us a revelation of the answer and the truth. So Father, today I just pray. I pray for wisdom to lead your people. Wisdom, God, to know how to handle questions and circumstances and situations, God, that leave me confused. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but you came to give life, and that more abundantly. So I pray, God, not just you, just Holy Spirit, blow wisdom through this place today. Let's walk in the wisdom of God. For we have the mind of Christ. Do, God, what only you can do in the lives of your people. I ask you to just bless this service, God. Let it just be a reminder of us throughout this week of your wisdom. And let's ask. It says that we ask. We have not because we ask not, God. We ask Him as we ask. Let's ask always. That's the right motives. so we can bless others and not just get applaud of men around us. Give us the wisdom to use the revelation you've given us so we can share your word, your voice, your truth with others around us in a way that is not judgmental, but loving and right. And Lord, I give you all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. The church said,